Thank you for joining part two of episode 5, where we are taking a deep dive into rebel love or redefining love. And you all have sent some amazing questions in. So we're going to dig back deep into those questions. And here we go.
It's acknowledging that you have needs and then allowing those needs to be fulfilled by your partner, you know, by yourself, but not sort of glossing over the fact that you are deserving of fulfillment,
yeah,
and care and space. And so I think you're right in that I have to define what that looks like for me, mm-hmm, and not necessarily take all these social cues that are telling me that soft girl era means that I am sitting in a fluffy beige room and, you know, I have people waiting on me hand and foot, because that might just not be my reality. But my reality is I can let my guard down a little bit, especially in romantic relationships, and say, listen, I need this and I'm going to let you handle it. Because I can speak personally for me. I'm the type of person and have been that if I ask you once and you don't get it right, it's easier for me to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I think of soft girl era for myself, it's, Malia, relax and let somebody else do it and let somebody else take care of it.
Yeah.
And if it's not perfect, let, you know, be okay, because that's, you know, people are taking things off of your plate and it might look a little different than how you envisioned it, but you are deserving of help.
Yeah.
Of help, and especially for my husband, because and I think this is probably true in a lot of marriages, that we get frustrated, mm-hmm, because we feel like we don't have the help in certain areas, and we feel like, oh, I can't be soft because I'm always the one having to think, I'm always the one have to figure out, you know, how the bills are getting, and I don't mean like paying the bills, but like literally like writing them out or whatever it is, and I'm picking the kids up, and I'm soccer mom, and I may still be working, and you know, and but have you asked for exactly what you need?
Yeah.
And then have you relinquished control of it?
Mm-hmm.
And are become okay with the person responding to that in the way that they have interpreted it, mm-hmm, even if it's not the way you saw it, but it's help, it's care,
yeah,
it's trying.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's my challenge, my personal challenge is asking for the help, being clear about what I need, and then letting it go.
Yeah. And maybe the help doesn't come, and this is me talking to me, maybe the help doesn't come in that way. Now, I would have preferred that you, of these 5 things that I need done, I would prefer that you do this one, and I can take care of these other ones, or these 2, and I can take care of these 3. But maybe those 2 really aren't their strength. Maybe the strength really is this one and that one over there, which still takes something off of my plate. I would prefer that it be these 2.
Yeah.
But if you can knock that out the park, hey, it's 2 things down,
yeah,
instead of 1 thing down. And so I think you make a great point in being able to have an open mind and a open heart, because I think a lot of us that are very driven, I can totally resonate with what you're saying. It's like, I really could just knock this out. I know I can just get this done. I don't really feel like asking because I can just knock it out myself, as opposed to, but it is one less thing that I have to get done.
Yeah. Yeah. And then not complaining about the care and the help when you get in. I'm talking to myself now, because my husband, he does all the cooking. Because he enjoys it,
yeah,
right? He's good at it. He enjoys it. He's a country boy, and he likes to be in the kitchen. But you know, there's sometimes that he may, you know, make a meal that I'm like, I would rather have something else. And for a long time, I would express that. It's like, no, I'm good. You know, I really don't. And I would kind of see the disappointment because, you know, in his way of showing up and helping take things off my plate and helping to care for me, like that's one of the ways that he shows love and he shows care and affection.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and again, it's a balance, because you do need to be clear about what you like and what you don't like. but also I think being sensitive to help when it arrives.
Yeah.
And, you know, not running your help off. Because I think we do that. we do that. And it's like gratitude is important.
Yeah.
I think in getting to a place where whatever your definition of a soft woman, girl life is, it's gratitude for the things that are coming into your life that make your life a little easier to live.
Yes. Which could be a very broad definition.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. I could go on the soft girl era soapbox for a while.
Yeah.
Just because I think the intent, and that's what I was saying, I like the definition. I think the intent can be very good in that it opens up the conversation for particularly a group of women who are seen as aggressive and strong and they can handle everything. Our ancestors were the same way. Our grandmothers were the same way. They can handle everything. We can, but it doesn't mean we want to. And it doesn't mean that we have to. Yeah, we can. But we also deserve the ability to be able to just be.
Yeah, and stop romanticizing the struggle.
Oof.
You know, it's, I think we over time have become so comfortable with, my life as a Black woman has to be hard. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of my job. That's my role, to just take it and to take what is thrown my way, to, you know, make Thanksgiving dinner out of the leftovers from, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to make something beautiful out of something that's been very ugly. We're good at it.
Yeah.
And I think over time, it's almost been, you know, again, us romanticizing that, because who else am I if I don't have that? If I'm not fixing everybody else's problems.
Yes.
If I'm not taking it all on. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that you don't lead in areas. I love the example that you gave about your friend that is a corporate exec and that enjoys like all of the stress. Because if you don't know, it's not without stress. It's not without challenges. It's not without, but you know, that's where I find I get my energy and my strength and my identity, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it, and that's great. But then also making room to get what you need in the way that works for you.
Yes.
In that I'm not looking for struggle in every area of my life. I'm understanding I'm going to have some.
Yes.
But I don't need every area of my life to be a fight all the time.
Nor is that productive or healthy.
Man, I'm tired.
Yes. And if there's a better or different way to do it, like it made me think about when you were just talking about Thanksgiving dinner. I remember when I first moved to North Carolina, I had just started my job. So I hadn't accrued a lot of time away and time off. So I needed to stay there for Thanksgiving and not travel like I normally would. Honey, let me tell you something that blessed my entire life. I discovered, and maybe other people know this, this is just new information to me, that restaurants have Thanksgiving Day dinners. And so they have a separate Thanksgiving Day menu and meal. And I said, well, I'll be John Brown. You mean to tell me I'll make a reservation? I go to the restaurant. I have, you know, some version of a traditional or non-traditional, if I decide to, Thanksgiving meal. I did this 2 years in a row, actually. 2 years in a row, and I eat the meal, I have some leftovers, and I leave.
And they're gonna clean it up.
They're gonna clean the dishes, they're gonna clean up, you know, the table, you know, for whoever's coming after me. And I said, now this is God.
Yeah.
Instead of days before preparing all the meal, day, you know, buying all the food, standing for hours and hours cooking all the food and then setting the table and then the cleanup after all, especially if you have a larger family.
Yeah.
All of the cleanup. And I was like, this just makes perfect sense to me. So to me, that is a rest and an ease moment. Like, let's just go and let someone else cook the meal. You know, decide which cuisine and, you know, which type of food that, you know, that we're looking for. Get some leftovers. Go home.
And rest.
And, but it made me think about that when you were just mentioning Thanksgiving and how we sometimes, I think, just need to open our mind to something different.
Something different, something new.
Yeah.
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 Mm. Good.
Okay. Yes, I'm asking you.
Okay.
How, let's see. How do you keep intimacy alive during the sandwich year? So we're describing the sandwich years as, which is what our age range is typically in. You may still be caring for parents and you may still have an 18-year-old and a 4-year-old. For example.
I would get this question. I would.
And I think even if the children are older, let's say you've got 20-something-year-olds and they're still, you know, the frontal, you know, part of their brain is still forming and they make these decisions like, what were you thinking? So you've got that, you know, kind of stress, if you will, where you've shifted from a parent to a counselor in their lives, as you were speaking about in a couple episodes ago about being parent of an adult child. But then you have your parents, you know, like particularly with our baby boomers, you know, it's like, I was trying to figure out how to do a screenshot. How do you do a screenshot? And then the people call me and they said that if I gave them this information, that they were going to give me No, why did you give them your personal information? Well, they said that this was the IRS call or, you know, whatever. Okay, so how do you keep intimacy alive during the sandwich years?
There's been a few times in our conversations where I've had to just have very honest moments.
Okay.
I am trying to figure this out.
Okay. That's honest.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? I have a 4-year-old, an 18-year-old that just graduated from high school, headed to college. I have a boomer mom who is doing all the things.
All the things.
That boomers do. Bless her love. And she lives close by. So I'm the child that's here and available to help. And it's been difficult.
Okay.
It has been, and, you know, going into menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at myself in the mirror every day like, do I know you? Are you?
Who's that girl?
Who? How you? Right? And so I'm really, really, really just working through this.
Okay.
But I will say at the start of it, of this journey of really defining what intimacy and preserving intimacy and making sure that it's present in my relationship is a conversation about how I'm feeling.
Okay.
Like, and what I don't know about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the stage that I'm in with my husband is like, listen, I don't have the same desires that I had before. The things that used to work, maybe they're not working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
I am overwhelmed with, you know, chasing a toddler and an 18-year-old and my mother, right? And so I'll go back to what I said about, you know, being sober to where you are on your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I've been here for a while.
Okay.
And I really just thought I was probably losing my mind.
Mm.
Like, you know, like, oh my gosh, like what is happening to me? Like I'm feeling pressure in ways that I hadn't felt pressure and out of control. In a lot of ways that I hadn't felt out of control in before. But I was just powering through.
Okay.
Just getting it done. Yeah. Just showing up, right? Mm-hmm. Leaving everything on the table. And I thought that would be successful. I would be successful in doing that if I just kept hammering it. You know, if you need, okay, we'll make it work. And people would even say, I don't know how you do it all. And it's almost a badge of honor. Like, girl, I don't know either, but I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm realizing, girl, no, you cannot.
Yes.
You cannot.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot continue at this pace and not have conversations with the person that you lay next to every night about how you're feeling.
Yeah.
About what you're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
About the changes in your physical body. your desires, your emotions, your hormones, the stress of being a mother, of being an entrepreneur, of being a daughter. And so for me, this is the first step of, you know, sort of figuring it out, is being honest about what I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah. I love the honesty, though, because I don't think particularly, because again, we're problem solvers and we're fixers. So the I don't know full stop almost feels like a failure.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
It's like I don't have a solution.
Yeah.
I don't have an option of where I go from here because, again, it's I don't know full stop. It's not I don't know, but it's I don't know.
Yeah.
And I actually think my therapist would say, you know, where on the emotion chart, what are the emotions that are connected to that thought?
Yeah.
Or connected to that sense of feeling like I just don't have a solution.
Yeah.
And I don't know where to go. And I think being able to sit with our thoughts, as we've talked about a couple of times, I think is actually really healthy.
And that is what helped me even get to this first stage of being able to communicate how I'm feeling mm-hmm. is, you know, my mornings at the beach and taking that time and being reflective of what's going on. I remember one of the first days I made up my mind. I said, I'm going to do this every day that I can, and make my way to the beach because that's where I'm at peace and that's where I'm most present with my thoughts. And one of the first days that I started to do that, I remember I was journaling at the beach and my pen was just writing all of these things that I'm like, where is this even coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Because these were thoughts that I've been having, feelings and emotions that I've been feeling, but I had not allowed them to come to the surface before that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked by the things I was writing.
Yeah.
I wrote a list. I wrote one side of the paper was, what have the last 10 years been for you? And I just started listing things off.
That's a great question.
What do you want now?
Mm.
And what do you want the next 5 years to be? And I lined my paper that way and I just wrote. And I was like, wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Am I on track to be this person that I say I want to be? Have I been grateful and shown gratitude for all of the wonderful things that have happened?
Mm-hmm.
And have I mourned the things that I lost appropriately?
Yeah. Or did I just put it up on a shelf?
Or did I put it on a shelf? And the answer to that is I had put so much on the shelf because I hadn't given myself an opportunity to acknowledge loss. And I'm talking about loss of people, death, grieving, relationships, you know, that I had to be pruned, that I hadn't properly grieved over, even leaving corporate. Mm-hmm. That was a proactive decision on my part to be able to do what I feel like I should be doing, but I didn't acknowledge that there was a grief there
mm-hmm.
on the person that was mm-hmm. at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to grieve that. And I had to appropriately move forward mm-hmm. to be present in my now and be prepared for my future. And so I can't reiterate what you said enough about the absolute necessity to take that time and take the challenge that we're giving you to make that time to sit with your thoughts.
Yeah.
And intimacy, I think it's even more important because it is requiring you to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you be intimate with someone that you cannot be vulnerable with?
Mm-mm.
It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized that was the first step is in regaining intimacy in my marriage mm-hmm. was to be honest about all of the things that had weighed me down so much that I can't even find a desire to go there.
Wow.
And I'm not even talking about just the sex.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in relating
mm-hmm.
past the day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
But I do know if you don't slow the clock down to do the work And if intimacy is not present, and I learned this from my therapist, then the relationship is on the path. You're on a path to a dead end.
Yeah.
Because you cannot survive without. I know I personally can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe it's in our human nature to be able to survive within the context of a relationship that lacks intimacy.
Yeah. It's a cold love.
Oh my gosh.
It's a chilly connection.
It's a chilly connection. And I told my husband this. I said, I'm not willing to exist inside of a relationship that does not have intimacy. Mm-hmm. And that's not a blaming thing, because you just heard me say all the things that were me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we've got to figure this out.
Yeah.
Because I don't have 20, 30 years to give if we're blessed with that, to be together and be two ships passing in a night and be satisfied with not connecting at the most vulnerable level, on the most vulnerable level that we can. Can't do it. Won't do it.
Two things that I heard you say that were really powerful. One is when you began to initiate as often as you could to go to the beach, and you had that moment where you wrote down all the things over the past 10 years, the things that you were grateful for, what's moving forward. And it was just flowing and flowing and flowing. I feel like it harkens back to earlier in this conversation when you made the great analogy about the storage capacity.
Mm.
It's almost like, you know, you were even surprised by how much was coming out, but it's like you were then opening up the storage capacity.
Yeah. Oh.
So when you had that introspective look, and then you're able to be intimate because you have done the intimate internal work, you were clearing some space in that storage to then have the conversation with your husband of, hey, here's where I am. Because I do think us as super women, people look at us from the outside and they do make the comments that you mentioned of, I don't see how you do it all. And you're right. It's not sustainable.
Mm-mm.
It can be done. It can be done for a portion of time. And it can be done well for a portion of time. But at some point, not only is it not sustainable, but it won't be done. It, whatever the it is, those things won't be done well. Which leads me to my second point. I was trying to remember her name, but there was a woman who, there was a video going around some months ago where she said, you know, listen, the concept of marriage being 50-50 is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And she said BS. I think it's BS, because there are times where me and my husband have agreed that, okay, listen, walking in the door, I got 10%. That's all I got.
Yeah.
But your spouse may say, I got 20. We got a delta of 70%. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like I've got 10 and your spouse is going to automatically say, I got 90, because they may not have 90. You know what I'm saying? And so what I love about what you said was, one of the things I love about what you said is, not only are you making storage space, but there's also space for honesty and that, look, I ain't got it. I done dealt with the little pumpkin. I done dealt with the 18-year-old. I done dealt with mama, work, and all of the things. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on in my body and all of the things, because we're having these hot flashes and our sex drive has changed. Like for me, it's insomnia. Mm. I mean, I'm getting about 3 hours of sleep and then I'm wide awake.
Yeah.
And then I might kind of catnap. Like this is like my every night thing. So I'm like, melatonin, all can we take to make it through the night? And so we're figuring out those things too, which takes energy as well, because again, the conversation about menopause was not something that we had.
Yeah.
And so I love that you made room, and I think it's an ongoing and evolutionary process of making room and storage for intimacy.
And I think in a relationship, that level of honesty is required so that resentment doesn't set in.
That's good.
Because I'm not sort of as available physically as I once was. You know, it's room for him to feel rejected.
Absolutely.
And not understand, babes, this has nothing to do with my love for you or my affection for you. I'm just, there's things happening that I'm just finding language for.
Yeah.
And if I can be honest about that, then there's less of an opportunity for him than to just be wondering, is it me? Mm-hmm. Like, did I do something? You know, are you still attracted to me? It's none of that. It's none of that.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think you have to be honest about where you are, because that's the first step of not further widening the gap.
Yeah.
Between you and your partner.
Yeah. And that's in a safe space.
Yeah.
When a safe space has been created for those conversations to take place. Because for me, you know, coming off of such an extended period of time of abstinence, my mental, like, required a sex therapist.
Mm.
Because I had told myself this record that I played over and over and over again, you can't do that, that's bad, you can't do that, that's bad, you can't do that. So I'm then going into a marriage with, you can't do that, that's bad, you can't, that record is still playing.
Yeah.
And it took me a minute to take the record, recognize that the record was playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it off of the record player,
mm-hmm.
and then replace it with something different. And then it just became like a physical semantics thing.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what I was doing. And so I'm just doing what I'm thinking, I don't know, that I've seen somewhere somebody doing in a movie. And it's just like, no, baby, you are way off. And really having those conversations of, here's what I like.
Yep.
Here's what I prefer. And then for me, it was also extending beyond that, regarding the whole rejection piece, initiating.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because there was still this remnant of a record playing. Yeah. We're talking about intimacy of, that's bad, that's wrong, you can't engage in that. So certainly you wouldn't initiate it.
Right.
But your partner likes to know that you know you're digging them,
yes.
that you're feeling them. And so we had a conversation. I was like, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Because still in my mind, well, you initiate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but who doesn't want to know that their partner wants them to jump their bones?
Right.
But again, you've got all this stuff going on in your mind and going on just even physiologically.
Yeah.
And so those by the beach, on the side of your bed, walking through the park, sitting in your car.
I was going to say, baby, the car.
The car ministry. The car conversation. The, yes. you know, handicap bathroom stall that has a little bit of extra room. You know, you just sat on that toilet and your behind is numb trying to get that thing together. Whatever that room and space
yes,
is.
Yes, find it.
Find it so that you can have those conversations.
Yes.
Yeah.
This has been great.
This has been good. This has been good.
Thank you. I mean, these questions, I mean, for our community, thank you so much. Because these questions challenge us even to think more deeply about intimacy and redefining love over 40. And you hopefully have heard us be very honest about, you know, things that we figured out,
yeah.
things that we're figuring out, the journey that we're on, and know that it is okay to be at different places along the journey,
yeah.
as long as you make a commitment to keep moving forward on your journey.
I agree. Continuing the evolutionary yeah. process. So I am super excited about what our next
yes!
episode will entail. If you watched episode 3, then you know the ladies joined us in the room at the proverbial table to have a great conversation.
Yes.
So they're coming back.
And we went there, and we're going to go there again.
I kind of feel like it's almost like a No Filter Femme After Dark.
Yeah.
Kind of situation.
That's what it feels like,
yeah.
for sure.
But grown folk, like grown folk edition. And really,
listen, put the kids to bed.
Yes, put them to bed.
This is not PG.
Put your AirPods in.
Yeah.
If they ain't ready to go to bed. If you're getting ready in the morning and you listen to it. But a great conversation that is that kitchen table talk conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In a public format. Yeah.
Because we have decided that we are no longer going to just have these thoughts swirl around in our head, these feelings on the inside of us, and not get them out and not flesh them out and not learn from each other's experiences. So we're going there.
Yeah.
So please do join us for episode 6, just coming up. But thank you for joining us today for Redefining Love Over 40, Rebel Love, and our question and answer phase, you know, sponsored by all of you who so graciously provided questions for us to answer. And if you found today's episode valuable, please subscribe to this channel, share it with your friends, and leave us a review so that we know how to continue to improve this show for you. And let us know what topics you'd like to hear from us. Your support helps us to continue to have these very important conversations.
Absolutely. Don't forget to also follow us on social media, on all the socials. We're No Filter Femme for updates, behind the scenes content, what we've got coming up next, and more ways to connect with our amazing community.
Until next time, keep loving boldly, keep believing, and remembering that love, romance, and all of the good things you are absolutely deserving of can be redefined at any age. No filter, just real talk. Goodbye.
Goodbye.